As schools around the country work to address race and inequality in the U.S., conservatives are sounding the alarm over a particular teaching being used. It's called critical race theory. It was developed by leading legal theorists a few decades ago, and it examines how America's laws and practices are rooted in racism. Advocates say the teaching helps us understand the systemic barriers that hold back students of color. Conservatives say critical race theory teaches kids to hate America. So Republicans in about a dozen states are pushing legislation that would limit or ban the teaching. Here's Governor Kevin Stitt of Oklahoma.
Verbatim, it reads, "No teacher shall require or make part of a course that one race or sex is inherently superior to another race or sex." To be sure, we must keep teaching history in all of its complexities and encourage honest and tough conversations about our past. Nothing in this bill prevents or discourages those conversations.
We're talking about that, and we want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about critical race theory and how it's being taught in schools? Are you familiar with it? Do you think it's the right way to teach kids about structural racism in America's past or present? Or do you think that it makes people feel uncomfortable or guilty about being a certain race? 800-642-1234 is the number to call, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Aaliyah Wong is an enterprise reporter at USA Today who covers inequities in education. Aaliyah, thanks for coming back on Central Time.
Thanks for having me on.
We should talk more about what critical race theory is and what it isn't and how it got started. Where do we begin?
Right. So critical race theory is actually kind of an obscure idea that developed in the 1970s by a group of legal scholars. The name critical race theory didn't actually get created until after that. But its proponents see it as a framework to examine how the legacy of racism continues to affect Black Americans and other people of color today, you know, and from who gets bank loans to who gets accepted into elite universities to how suspects are treated by police. But now we're seeing this opposition start to bubble up, and this opposition comes from people who see it as a way of teaching kids, you know, quote unquote, to hate their country or to promote what we now know as public school wokeness, this idea that we should be teaching this social justice in classroom.
What does it look like in the classroom then? Is there a lesson or is it content that's worked into the curricula? How do we apply it in our schools?
Right. So I think one of the most prominent or high profile examples of how it's being taught in schools is what's known as the 1619 Project. And that was a project developed by the New York Times. And it's gone on to influence a lot of curriculum around history. It's trying to reframe history, U.S. history in particular, about as a country that was founded in slavery and has continued to be influenced by that legacy of slavery. Other examples might be how teachers are, you know, teaching about things like the George Floyd killing and the trial of Derek Chauvin. It's about understanding that we have varied histories in this country, that we have varied experiences, and that people of color today are affected by those varied experiences.
So are people who are against having this talked about in our schools disagreeing that is fact, or are what part of it are they challenging?
So what they're challenging is the idea that by teaching that this country, you know, has this maybe a more insidious past, is actually teaching kids that white people, even white people today, would be oppressors or people who are accountable for the sins of our country's past. They might teach that, or what opponents would criticize is that they're teaching that kids today need to learn how to be, you know, accountable for those past sins or how to be responsible for them. And that's where the controversy really bubbles up.
And help us understand again, why is it becoming such a flashpoint now?
So it largely traces back to President Donald Trump, or former President Donald Trump, who during his presidency issued an executive order that banned diversity trainings among federal workers. And that's when this idea of critical race theory, or the term critical race theory, started coming to the fore. And that's when it really started to crystallize. But it's not a new controversy by any means. I think for decades, if not centuries, there's been this cycle of schools teaching quote-unquote controversial subjects and that getting backlash. I think, it has become a partisan issue, and that's why it has kind of risen to the forefront of people's, political debates.
Aaliyah Wong is a reporter for USA Today. She covers inequities in education, and we're talking about bills moving through state legislatures meant to restrict teaching critical race theory in schools. You're part of this conversation. You can call 800-642-1234. Tell us what's happening in your kids' classroom. Maybe you have seen, or maybe you are in a classroom and you teach critical race theory to your students. How do you apply it? If this is a new concept to you, what questions do you have about it? 800-642-1234 is a number to call. There's a line for you. You can also send us an email. That address is ideas@wpr.org. Republican Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas recently said that colleges and universities are indoctrinating young people with un-American ideas, including critical race theory. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was asked to respond, and here is what she said on Thursday.
I don't think we believe that educating the youth and next and leaders of the future leaders of the country on systemic racism is indoctrination. That's actually responsible.
Aaliyah, has the Biden administration issued any guidance on how critical race theory should be taught in schools?
To my knowledge, it hasn't issued any formal guidance, but President Biden has been very clear that he thinks the ideas behind critical race theory play an important role in school. Really what critical race theory is talking about is that structural racism is a real and alive phenomenon that defines our lives and defines American society. And it is something that ought to be acknowledged. It ought to be taught. It ought to be discussed in classrooms. So I think we are, especially in light of this recent spate of bills driven by Republican lawmakers, I think we are going to see a response on the part of Democrats in political leadership, saying that this is something that we ought to defend.
Let's talk more about those bills. What kind of legislation are you seeing introduced against critical race theory?
Right. So there have been about a dozen bills and counting. It's hard to keep track of them all because there have been so many, and a lot of them might not explicitly mention critical race theory. In fact, most of them do not. But they're all kind of getting at the same idea that they're, some mention things like divisive concepts or ideas like you can't teach that one race is inherently superior or inferior to another, that you can't teach that people of a given race are accountable for the transgressions of their ancestors. But these have all been introduced, I would say, in the past few months. It's definitely a novel phenomenon. And some have, some of the bills have stalled in committee or just died altogether, but some are progressing full steam ahead, including one out of Idaho, one that really sticks out to me that actually was signed into law 2 weeks ago. Yeah, so earlier this month. And that bill actually does mention critical race theory explicitly.
We've got Anthony in Mauston ready to talk with us this afternoon. Hi, Anthony.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, or my comment is really, and those in favor of opposition to critical race theory, one of the ideas is that it, we're asked, or it teaches that we are asked to kind of pay for the sins, if you will, of our forebears. And the context, I think, that might have to help with that is this whole idea of reparations of the descendants of slaves in the past. And I'm kind of curious how the current environment we are in politically and this, all these different things, how that really can affect the perception of what this critical race theory has to teach.
Anthony, thanks for that question. And Aaliyah, what about reparations or that concept? How do you see critical race theory addressing that in schools?
Right. You know, I think that's such a parallel phenomenon, just seeing, you know, this movement for reparations. I think there is a lot of similarities in the sort of mission of critical race theory and the mission of reparations, right? It's to acknowledge that we do have this tainted past and that we should act on that and that we should teach about it to make society better, to you know, right the wrongs that happened historically. I don't think that, you know, in a classroom they would teach that we ought to do reparations. I think it might be included as a question, right? Like, should we engage in reparations? And I think that's an excellent example of how critical race theory can really work effectively in the classroom. If, say, you have a social studies class and you bring up the idea of reparations and you have a discussion circle where you ask kids whether reparations are the best or most effective way to right for those past wrongs.
So it's not necessarily prescriptive, but it might be part of the conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
We are taking a look at critical race theory in schools. It's a concept from the 1970s and 80s that focuses on racism's role in American history and how it can still be seen and felt in laws today. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keeley Boltina. Our guest is Aaliyah Wong. She's an enterprise reporter at USA Today who covers education. And you can join the discussion at 800-642-1234. Let us know what you think of critical race theory and whether it has a place in U.S. schools. 800-642-1234. We have Tomas in Madison who wants to talk with us now. Hi, Tomas.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question really tries to get at the whole idea of divisiveness and really in understanding the legitimacy of the feelings of that white people might have about being implicated in these kinds of things in history. My question is, how come critical race theory doesn't attempt, as far as I know, attempt to interrogate the economic backings or foundations of the oppressive practices of the past that were not only visited on people of color, but also on white people as well, and also attempted to pit those two people against each other.
Hey, Tomas, so does that mean you're looking to, you think that if we focus on the economic rather than just the social or racial aspect of it, that you think it would be more acceptable?
I think that addressing the central aspect of economics in those processes addresses the feelings of, the potential feelings of white people in that are potentially not well-versed in historical processes. That might feel guilty about it, that really goes to show it's not white people versus people of color. It's economics.
Gotcha. Tomas, thank you so much for that, because Tomas is talking back to really how we started this conversation, Aaliyah, about the fact that we do have lawmakers saying this makes white people feel guilty about their race. And Tomas is saying, can we take an economic perspective? Does that lighten it a little bit? What do you think, Aaliyah?
I think that's an excellent point. And I think Tomas really gets at the root of why this is so controversial and why this causes so much distress on either side. I think, you know, critical race theory originally, like, you know, its founders or the scholars who really came about this idea would argue that they really tried to inject into this conversation an economic focus and an economic context. And I think you know, when we talk about critical race theory, at least according to these scholars, it would be about, you know, who gets bank loans, who gets access to economic mobility and who doesn't. But I do think that's an excellent point that these conversations about critical race theory should be broadened, perhaps, to acknowledge the deeper and the more complex roots of inequality in this country today.
We're talking with Aaliyah Wong, who's a reporter for USA Today, and we're discussing how politics and education are clashing as conservative lawmakers work to restrain teaching critical race theory in schools. And we've got Peter from the Village of Summers on the line. Hey, Peter.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I am an educator, and I do teach history. And with my scholars, we discuss the importance of critical thinking. Now, when I hear critical race theory and there is the backlash against it from the right, what I sense is there is a deeper attempt at suppressing critical thinking. Critical thinking skills are essential for scholars to be able to understand different perspectives, especially about race and politics in this country. Now, for instance, studying the Civil War in the South, a lot of people refer to it as the War of Northern Aggression. So with my students, I try to tell them that, look, you have to look at the perspectives of all the people involved and arrive at your own conclusion. Critical thinking skills. So when there is this war on critical race theory, I hear it as a war on critical thinking. Thank you.
Yeah, Peter, thank you for joining us to offer that perspective and share what you do. And Aaliyah, how do you respond to Peter when he's thinking about applying this in schools?
Right. I think Peter, again, makes such an excellent point. And it reminds me that critical is really the operative word in both of these concepts, right? We're talking about critical thinking, critical race theory. What it comes down to is really analysis. Understanding how the past informs the present and thinking about, you know, how we respond to the past in terms of our education, our conversations, our debates right now, our political debates. I think really if we take a step back and we think about what critical race theory is trying to do, at least what its founders wanted it to achieve, is that it was really trying to inject this idea that we should think critically about our country's past and its racist past to understand what society is doing now.
I'm stuck on this language that people who don't want critical race theory in schools are using, that it's teaching people to hate the country or that this is un-American. And I wonder if you can speak to that a little bit and help us understand either where that's coming from and whether that's true.
In my opinion, it's actually, I disagree with that. I think it's wholly American to think, like what Peter was saying, to think critically about the country's past and to understand how, you know, our history progressed and that trajectory and where it led us today. I think, you know, it might teach us that, hey, our country wasn't founded on the idealistic ideals that we might have thought it did. But is that un-American? I would argue that it's fully American, you know, as someone who comes from a place that didn't become a state until the 1950s, you know, being American to me from that state has really challenged me to think, okay, what does it mean to be American? And I think through this framework, I would understand America a lot better.
Do you expect more states to pick up legislation about critical race theory in schools in the coming, I guess, months or even years?
I do. You know, for better or worse, I think this has become a hot button issue. I think schools have become a lightning rod. They've become vehicles for larger political debates. And I think just because of the political climate right now, it's just inevitable that this is going to continue to become almost, in my opinion, a red herring. something that people can attach to and debate about. And I think that's a sad reality. I think it's a distraction from the conversations we should be having about schools and civic education and history education.
So we'll focus on this as opposed to other aspects of education that affect our kids every day.
In my opinion, yes.
Yeah. Aaliyah, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you breaking it down for us and helping us understand what critical race theory is in the political climate.
Thank you so much for having me.
Aaliyah Wong is an enterprise reporter at USA Today who covers inequities in education. And we talked with her about the push by Republican state legislatures to ban critical race theory in schools, what it looks like, how teachers apply it, and what it isn't.